You know, as Tom was sharing about the kids, you know, I was just thinking, because right out there in the hallway, I saw a combination between an NFL tackle and a big-time wrestling between two little kids. And I thought, yeah, this is awesome. I'm glad we have kids. You might not think that, but I think it's great. We want to just take a few moments. I know we've had a lot of stuff going on today. We got a video we want to share, And so while that video is getting ready to be shared, I think I've shared this before. I remember when there was a group of college students out to OSUM were inviting me here for the first time, and I think it was like 6 months they kept inviting. And the reason I share that, and eventually I came, and that was a long time ago. And so one of the things encouraging is just because you invite someone and they don't show up, don't stop. Because those seeds, and that's not just true in inviting, it's true with all kinds of things with the kingdom of God. You know, there's parables that Jesus talked about how the kingdom of God is like a seed that gets planted, and then it works. And what was happening through those months as they were kept inviting is God was taking those seeds and working through those layers in my heart that I had hardened through issues, through prejudice, through all kinds of perceptions, all kinds of things. He was working those issues. And I thank God that they did not give up. Even though I never came, you know, even though week after week and I never came, the thing that happened was the first week I came, they didn't show up. So, so are we ready, Angie? Okay, we got a little video here.
You're scared. You've rehearsed this conversation in your head 1,000 times. Immediately, your mind starts racing to the worst case scenario. What if she says no or laughs at me? What if she thinks I'm a weirdo that lives in a van? What if she has ties to the Russian mafia and I end up sleeping with the fishes? Thankfully, you snap out of it. There's no way that'll ever happen. After all, she seems like a friendly person, always nice to you at work, unlike Kathy. What's Kathy's problem anyway?
Can you understand?
Wait, you're getting off topic. Stop stalling and be a man. You can do this. Just ask. You pick up the phone. Your mind is made up. You're going to do it. After you check Facebook. 20 minutes later, you work up the courage again and you make the call. It rings. You want to hang up, but it's too late. She answers.
Hello?
Your mind goes blank. You didn't think it through this far.
Hey, I'm next to you. I sit next to you at work.
It's Tim. What are you saying?
Oh, hey, Tim. What's that? Something wrong with the Jenkins account?
Jenkins, no.
Why are you laughing?
Actually, I have a question I've been meaning to ask you for a while. Where do you get your teeth cleaned?
The dentist. Why?
Yes, Tim, why? Why would you ask that stupid question?
No reason. So, what are you doing this weekend?
No plans. How about you?
Here's your chance. Your heart starts pounding and your voice quivers as you nervously blurt out.
Do you want to go with me to church?
Yes.
Inviting someone to church doesn't have to be like an awkward first date. Just ask.
Thank you, Ange. We'll work on that. Did you have that plugged in the top? Never mind, we'll work on that because I didn't do that yesterday. Anyways, so just encouraging. Why invite someone to church? You know, there's lots of studies been done, and majority of people would come. I know this green board, which I know you guys probably can't see over here, back in the back, that has several names of people that some of you put up. There's, I think, like 400 or 500 names of people that you had in mind to invite, and you can still put names up here because we believe for God to again to be working on one's hearts for that. Part of inviting for us to remember, one of our things is why we might hesitate is fear of rejection. Can you imagine what life would be like if God was afraid of rejection? Because, I mean, he's not afraid. Fear paralyzes. It's just the way it is. Love propels. There's a verse in Scripture, it says, there is no fear in love, But perfect love drives out fear. Jesus is perfect love. And having him with us, you know, there's a Psalm 23 says when the shepherd, he being a good shepherd, that we won't fear having him with us. And part of the thing of inviting people is there's a lot of people are looking for healthy relationships. There's a lot of unhealthy things out there in society, but people want healthy relationships. In fact, most of the studies that have been done have said that people will not possibly or probably won't come to your church because of your beliefs, but they'll come because of relationships. They'll come because of seeing healthy relationships. And some of that is set upon us. Excuse me, I know a couple weeks ago we had a prayer pastors. Once a month there's a group of pastors in Marion area that get together and pray. And in March we hosted it here and we were sharing during a devotion time. And we said, you know, part of the discussion was as Christians and as leaders, if we don't know how to get along, if we are not setting the example, I mean, if we're not the ones showing how we can relate to others, what do we expect from the world? And so for us as leaders, it's a maturity for us to say, okay, we got to show the example to not be so lines drawn in the sand and all that. Yeah, I'm not talking about compromising the foundational beliefs, but there's some beliefs out there, they're not foundational. They're just beliefs. And part of that is how, if we can't learn, and to me, this is part of maturity. Maturity is relating, loving, and working with someone. We got this one, yeah. And some of that is just us relating and being that example. And you know, that's not just for leaders, that's for all of us. There's some scriptures that says, you are the salt of the earth. How many of you are a you? Yeah. So you, it's not just me. It's not your Sunday school teacher or your small group leader. It's you are the salt of the earth. Bible says, you are the light of the world. So God sends us out there to be the salt and light. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. This is all through faith. And so you might think, well, I don't feel like the salt. I don't feel like the light. I don't feel like a child of God. It's not based on your feelings. It's based on what God said. And he says, this is what you are. You are this, whether you feel like it or not. Whether you messed up this week or not. Whether you did something right or you did something wrong. Doing a bunch of stuff right doesn't change us any more than doing something wrong, because it's based on faith, not upon your works. It says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. So that's what the scripture says we are. And we said, well, you know, I got a past. Well, all of us have a past. The Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone. In Christ Jesus, by faith, we have a new life. So then we have a choice which life we're going to choose. Are we going to choose to be salt and light and be a child of God and be children of the day and live the new life? Or we're not. That's part of the love of God and the freedom that God has given us, is to choose those things. So inviting people. You know, one of the things, realizing inviting somebody to church is not the pinnacle of Christianity. If you believe that this is it, then you're missing what Jesus came, because this is only, what, an hour and a half out of the whole week? You know, the whole pinnacle of Christianity is a personal, daily, moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Even though it's important for people to come to church. We're told in the Bible, we're told to not forsake assembling together. We're part of growing and maturing is being with one another, but it's not the pinnacle. How many of you have a garage? You have a garage at your house? So if you went out and started sleeping in your garage, and you started eating in your garage, you started watching your TV, today, go Big Ten.
Oh, yeah.
Right, Rick? Yeah. Well, Wisconsin, Michigan plays today, too. I get that in there. So if you just did all these activities in your garage, would that make you a car? No. Well, the same thing goes if you come to church and you sing songs about God, even though thank you, Elizabeth, for the wonderful, and the worship team for wonderful worship time, and you hear the Bible and you smile at other Christians, does that make you a Christian? No. It's that personal belief, personal receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, a personal relationship, your personal faith in Him. All those things are good, but it's not necessarily what makes you a Christian. There's a verse in the book. It's a little short one-chapter book in the New Testament called Philemon. And Paul said this. He said, and he wrote this. He says, "And I pray that the fellowship of your faith may become effective through the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake." There's different translations of what that says. Basically, in summary, in my message version of it, is that, you know, there's things in our life that are indicators. You know, when you drive here today, there's a speedometer and there's a gas gauge. And if you cook something, there's the buttons on the oven that tells you how hot it is and everything. There's things that we give. There's things also in the Bible that helps us know where we are. And it's just good sometimes to get evaluation. I know most people don't like to go to the doctor. Now, would you like to go to the doctor if every time you went to the doctor, he'd tell you how great you are, or she would tell you how great you are and how great your body is, and everything's going great? You know, most people wouldn't have a problem going to the doctor, but usually that's not the case. Well, the Bible, what God gave it to us for tell us who we are, but also there's gauges in there. And it says, well, this is the abundant life I've given you. And part of that abundant life is, as we say here, is Paul was saying this word fellowship basically means sharing. It's sharing your life. It's inviting people. It's sharing your faith. And he's saying that for us to fully understand the fullness of everything God's given us, we have to share our faith. If we keep it all bottled up, we won't fully understand everything that God. So he says, as you do this, you will have the knowledge of every good thing which is in you for Christ's sake. That will not come out. That knowledge, that understanding will not come out unless we're sharing our faith, unless we're giving that part of that faith away. Again, that's a choice we have. Part of the reason we would want somebody to come into the church, into experiences, one, is because we want them to hear about the kingdom of God. Hopefully that's going on. They're experiencing. Part of the being a part of the body is there's just a little bit of piece of kingdom of God in me. And there's some in Lisa and Dorothy and Marilyn and Nathan. And us being together, then we get to experience the kingdom of God. We get to experience him in one another. And you know what? It doesn't end just if you're a member of Marian Christian Center. We get experience in him and the people at the Nazarene Church, and experience in him at Dayspring, experience him at Cornerstone, the Baptist Church. The kingdom of God is in all those ones if they have Christ within them. And so part of that, the purpose of bringing ones and inviting ones, again, first of all, is not just numbers, but it's because we love people and we want them to know him. And this is an indicator where they say, if you don't want to invite anybody ever to church, then I would seriously ask, you need to look at your own heart. Say, what's going on, God? This is a gauge. It's the same thing. If I never want to read this Bible, then I have to say, what's going on? Why don't I hunger for the word of God? Why don't I want to hear him? If I don't want to pray, if I don't want to share my faith, am I ashamed of my faith? This is the greatest thing. So again, it's like, Lord, why do I have, what's going on? I need to get my thoughts and my heart aligned with you, as we shared earlier, that we have his thoughts and we are walking in his ways. Jesus said he came that we might have life and have it to the fullest, have an abundant life. But there's principles in how that life's going to play out. If we want to live that abundant life, there's a way to live it. And it's finding a line in our life with that. So, and then We're hoping that in any church, which we encourage, that someone's going to hear the gospel and someone's going to know, come to know him, and then they get to meet friendly people. And that's all of us, right? And so I know Barb's going to get a share on that here next week or so about just us being hosts. You know, we are God's hands and heart and eyes and mouth. We're God in the flesh. It's like years ago, I was read a story in a book Gary Smalley wrote called The Blessing. And his daughter was blind, and there was a really bad storm going on. And she was like 7 years old, and she was calling out for him. And he said, well, I'm here. And he says, but Dad, I need to touch you. I need to hold you. I need something with flesh on. I need to feel you. You know, and that's the same thing with God, with one another. We do need to have faith in God, but we also need one another. We need that hands and that faith, that something. We need God in flesh, which is really what we are. Jesus in us means God on earth. It's God incarnate, God here. We are God's representatives for here. If we could have our musicians come back up, please. So our goal in having ones come is that they can know Jesus. They can have that personal relationship. They can find what Christian, healthy Christian relationships are. And that puts a challenge on me that if I want somebody to come and have a healthy Christian relationship, that means I need to have a healthy Christian relationship. That means I need to know how I'm treating one another, how I'm treating each other, that I'm not walking in unforgiveness. I'm not walking in gossip. I'm not walking in bitterness. And I'm tuned in to what God's saying, and I'm allowing his love to come through me to one another. And that's part of that sacrifice that God, there's a point of sacrifice. If you're going to have the abundant life, there's going to be sacrifice involved. And that first sacrifice is myself. My own person who has my own beliefs and ungodly beliefs and opinions and everything else, I need to lay those on the altar and say, God, is this representative of you? Yeah, it might make me feel good. My soul might enjoy this and all these things, but Lord, is this representative of you? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, the definition of ambassador is someone who is appointed by a nation state to represent and protect that nation's interests abroad. We have a place. Jesus said, I'm going to go and make a place for each one of us, because I'm going to prepare a place for you. But until that time, we are his ambassadors here on earth to represent the kingdom of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work through us, to allow his love through us. And if you think, Lord, well, what is that? It's in here. I encourage you, if you've not read the Bible, or if you're familiar with it, stay in the New Testament. Go in the New Testament, read Gospel of John. Stay in there, because that's the covenant we're in. If you don't understand the new covenant, it's really hard to understand the old covenant. Covenant means testament. So I encourage you to stay in there. But being an ambassador. So I'm going to ask for, if we could go ahead and stand, and for you to make just a commitment. You know, one of the things a diplomat, what happens in that situation, is they take an oath to represent their nation. So if you're willing to say, Lord, I'm willing to be an ambassador for you, and just to pledge myself, if you just lift your hand to the Lord, you're not making it to me, you're making it to him. And we're just going to pray. Father, we thank you. You see every hand today that's saying, Lord, I want to be ambassador for you. Lord, help us to know what that is. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for one another, that we and each other help each other to know what it means to be ambassador for Christ. But Lord, help us. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, you see our hands up. Help us to be the light and the salt to this earth, to be ones of reconciliation, to be ones, Lord, the children of the day. Help us to be what we are to you, God. We thank you for your great love. We continue to welcome as we leave here, God. that the pinnacle of our heart would be you, Jesus, and our relationship with you. Help us have strength to push that up to the top. We thank you for it, God. We give you glory in Jesus' name. I ask Pastor Tom's going to come and make a few more announcements here.
I'd like to